Well, today we are going to read the last section in the book of Acts and have our meditation on that. Before we get into that, I'm sure many of you know that we lost one of our loved ones this week, and we have Angie Douglas here in the service, and Jerry, and Jay, and Grace, and God bless you all. We're so sorry that Mac isn't with us anymore, but God bless you, and we're all going to be praying for you and standing with you over the next little while. I hope you feel our passion about this. We love you very much. All right, so today, Book of Acts, final words in the Book of Acts, Acts 28, verses 16 through 21. Let me just read the passage, and then we're going to draw out some of the highlights of the passage. So, Acts 28, 16. Luke is writing, so he says, you know, we, Paul and I, and also Aristarchus, traveling together, says, "And when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul was allowed to live by himself with a soldier that kept him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together. And when they come together, he said to them, 'Men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or customs of our fathers, yet I was delivered as a prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who, when they had examined me, would have let me go because there was no cause of death in me. But when the Jews spoke against it, I was constrained to appeal to Caesar, not that I had anything to accuse my nation of. For this reason, therefore, I have called for you to see you and to speak with you, because for the hope of Israel, I am bound with this chain.' And they said to him, 'We neither receive letters out of Judea concerning you, nor have any of the brothers who have come here shown or spoken any evil about you. But we desire to hear from you what you think, for as concerning this sect, the Christians, we know that everywhere it is spoken against. And when they had appointed to him a day, many came to him into his lodging, to whom he explained and testified about the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning until evening. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some did not believe. And when they did not agree among themselves, they departed after Paul had spoken one word. 'Well said the Holy Spirit by Isaiah the prophet to our fathers, saying, Go to these people and say, hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and not perceive. For the heart of these people has grown dull, and their ears are dull of hearing, and they have closed their eyes, lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Let it be known, therefore, to you that salvation of God is sent to the Gentiles, and they will hear it.' And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had a great disputing among themselves. And Paul lived 2 years in his own rented house and received all who came in to visit him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things about the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence without anyone forbidding him." And that is the conclusion to the book of Acts. That's the very end. All right, so today we're going to recap a few things, although next week we're going to do the real recap of the whole book of Acts, my favorite parts of the entire book. And I'm just recalling here that this is a history. You know, the book of Acts is a history book, a Christian history book, and it takes us almost 30 years from the birth of the church until the imprisonment of Paul. And I know you can't see all of that font, but it's just reminding you that we start out with the death and resurrection of Jesus talked about in Acts chapter 1, and we have a pretty good feel for when that happened. 32 AD, we know, because there was an eclipse that took place, is associated with the death of Herod, and when the wise men came, they interviewed with Herod, right? So we know that the wise men came, Jesus' birth came, at about the time of the eclipse, and we know that's about 32 AD, so we're pretty sure about that. We feel pretty good about the Jerusalem Council that it took place in 49 A.D. I said B.C. before, didn't I? A.D. And so we know that the Jerusalem Council is about 49 A.D. Nobody really disagrees with that. And we know his first missionary tour would take about 2 years, not surely 2 years, not less than that, not much less than that. So 2 years right before the Jerusalem Council. So we know when his first missionary tour was. We know when his second missionary tour was. because during that tour, he stood before Gallio, who is a secular government official. And we know about him in history. We know that he was in position in Corinth in 51 to 52 AD, just 1 year. So we know when Paul met Gallio. So we know when the second missionary tour was. We know when the third missionary tour is, basically, because it's a long tour. It's going to take 3 years just for his time in Ephesus, plus 3 months beyond the 3 years in Corinth, plus incidental traveling. This is like a 4-year mission tour. So we have a pretty good idea when that would be, 53 to 57 AD, approximately. And then we know he is going to go to prison for 4 years. 2 years in Caesarea, because we're specifically told he was 2 years in Caesarea. Then he gets moved to Rome. That's another 2 years. That's what we read in the book of Acts. So we know altogether he's in prison not less than 4 years. And then there is the sea voyage and the shipwreck, and that takes another several months. So we know approximately when Paul was in prison. So we know from the book of Acts what has happened in the early church's history. All right. In this passage that we just now read, you can see that there are some really important things that sort of just summarize the whole book. So, for example, in Acts 28:23, Paul said that he was persuading these people about Jesus, about all that was written in the law and the prophets. And, of course, that is indeed what was in the book of Acts. Over and over again, we saw the sermons to this effect. We see in Acts 28:24 that some believed. And that, of course, summarizes the book of Acts. Not everybody believed, but the gospel was making a dent, wasn't it? And you see that the Christian faith was resented without a cause. In this text, Paul says, I have committed nothing against these people, and yet, you know, here I am, chained as a prisoner. So the gospel, the Christian faith, was resented, and it's not the fault of the Christian faith. That's so much of the book of Acts, all the persecutions, right? And then while the Jewish people resisted, the Gentile people were receptive. And again, we see that over and over again in the book of Acts. The Jewish people are giving them a hard time, but the Gentile people are coming around more and more. And so that's the book of Acts. And lastly, at the bottom of that slide, you see that Christian conversion and healing have indeed prospered. Not everywhere, not everybody, but Christianity is on the move. And that's the book of Acts. All right, what I want to show you from Paul's final words here are things that are sort of symbolic of your life. You know, in a lot of ways, you are just like Paul in his in-house arrest. And we'll explain how Paul was, you know, going through house arrest. But you're going to see that your life is actually a lot like Paul's here. And hopefully you'll be able to derive some encouragement as you look at the similarities. In the first place, we are all resented. Paul was, and so are you. We are all resented by many people just for representing the Savior as well as we can in this world. If you're going to represent the Savior in this world, people are going to hate you for it. And there's really not one thing you can do about it. Paul was wonderful. He didn't do anything wrong, and they resented him. And you might expect the same. In Acts 28:17, Paul said, remember, men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or customs of our fathers, yet I was delivered as a prisoner. You might say, it's not my fault. It's not what Paul did that caused all of this. And that's what it's like for you. You are going to live in this world where you are resented without a cause. And you have to face that. Don't be ambushed. Don't be surprised by it. Like, oh, I had no idea I was going to be hated in this world. You have to quit being surprised, because from the very beginning, this is the way it has been. A school teacher, Jessica Tapia, was fired from her school in California because she refused to use the students' preferred pronouns and keep their gender identity secret from the parents. As a teacher, she didn't want to do this. She didn't think it was right. It was against her Christian principles. So she was fired. She says the district also told her that she was not allowed to post on social media anything about her faith or her opinions. They wanted her to be quiet. And so she was fired. In May this year, 2024, the district was ordered to pay her $360,000 for the damage they caused her. But for a long time, it didn't look like that was going to happen. And you just realize that even though in this case, she was proved right, she was vindicated in court, what happens the next time? we're not at all sure that this is going to be the trend that you are vindicated. What we really think is that it's going the other direction. Similarly, in West Point, Virginia, right here, you know, on your way to Busch Gardens almost, Peter Vlaming was fired in 2018 by his school system because he refused to use a transgender female's student's pronouns. And he claimed that it was against his religious and philosophical principles. He just wanted to do it. He said, I won't use any pronouns at all when I'm talking to her. I'll just use the masculine name that she prefers. You know, I don't know what that was, but he said, you know, I'll never say he or him. I'll just keep saying, you know, the first name. And I'll avoid it altogether. That wasn't good enough. He was fired. And so a lower court here in Virginia upheld the school district's termination of the teacher, but then the Supreme Court of Virginia just reversed it in December, and so they're saying it's not over yet. They're saying he has grounds to sue, so now he shall sue, and we'll see how it turns out. The story isn't over yet. But Paul said, I didn't do anything wrong, and yet here I am, resented, but it's not my fault. All he did was represent Jesus. And all you are trying to do is represent Jesus. And you should know that you and Paul are simpatico on this. It might be hard for you to go through this world without being really resented if you're going to represent Jesus as well as you can. We also see with Paul that he was limited in his ability to influence others for good in this world. Now he's under house arrest. He can't just travel wherever he wants anymore. He's limited. And he still does a great job, of course, but he is limited. And you are limited. You want to do more. There are things you hope to do, dream to do. There are things that you wish you could do, and you can't do them. You're limited. And so we are all limited. Sometimes limited by health. Sometimes limited by the people that we need to take care of who are priorities. We all have limits. And so did Paul. Again, in chapter 28, verse 24, when he was explaining at the close of the book of Acts, he says, and some believe, this is Luke saying, and some believe the things which were spoken, and some did not believe. And when they did not agree among themselves, they departed after Paul had spoken this word from Isaiah. You're just blind and you won't listen so that you can be converted and healed. And that's how it will be for you. We are all limited in our ability to influence people we care about. We wish that we could do more. We want to influence them. But there's only so much we can do. And that's how it was with Paul. So you shouldn't feel surprised or feel badly about this, because this is, you know, ever the way. And so I love Emily Freeman. She has a book called Simply Tuesday. It's a very good book, and she's very insightful. And her situation was that her husband was a youth pastor at a very large church, and he basically just couldn't do it anymore. And so they had to streamline everything in their lives. They went from being, you know, celebrities almost, to being nobodies. She talks about how that felt when your ministry is diminished, when you become small in this world. And she said, at a particularly lonely time, remember, she used to be like a VIP. Everybody wanted a piece of her time, but now nobody's calling. Nobody's coming around. So at a lonely time in her life, she says, I realized I had two choices. I could either continue as I was, waiting for people to come to show up and surround me, or I could decide to move toward people myself. Would I rather people just come to me? Yes. Would I rather be pursued than pursue? Yes. But you can't do that. If you're going to serve the Lord, you have to go to them. People don't come around. You say, I want to influence these people, and nobody calls me. Nobody comes by. You have to go to them. She was talking about the movie Field of Dreams. You know, if you build it, they will come. She said, if you build it, they will come. Isn't from the Bible. That's not what the Bible says. I have built many things and they haven't come. You're just trying. You know, I wanted to have influence. I made a party and nobody came. I invited them and they didn't come. I built many things and they didn't come. That is your limitation. Paul had a chain. You have other limitations, but they're very real limitations. She was talking about Charles Schultz, talking about Charlie Brown. And Schultz explained why people tend to like Charlie Brown. And he said, Charlie Brown is a caricature of the average person. Just, you know, you and me, the average guy. most of us are much more acquainted with losing than winning. And so Charlie Brown, he always loses. You know, he doesn't lose everything, but he loses a lot. And most of us like Charlie Brown because he's so limited and we are so limited. And one more time, Emily Freeman talks about an example of how her life went when she was no longer a celebrity. Although now she's a well-known published author, maybe this wouldn't happen anymore, but it happened then. She said, I was invited to give several talks at a large women's conference. I was scheduled to do the same talk back to back for two separate sessions. Not only was my room not packed, it was nearly empty with around 30 by the time I began to speak. The workshop next to mine was a standing room only workshop with only a paper thin wall to divide us. I heard a distant rumble from somewhere in my room, a snore. Every person in the room turned to look. And so I continued to talk for several minutes over the snoring and the muffled laughter from the standing room only crowd next door. And while I continued to make points and finish my talk, a mounting sense of discouragement grew in the back of my mind. And remember, I had to do it twice. So you have limits. Like I have a message for the world. I want to tell my family something. I want to tell my friends something. I want to tell my relatives when they call me. I just want to make a difference. I want to tell the children. I want to change the world. And you're limited. And so is Paul. And so are all Christians. That's just the way it is. We see in Paul that he had to live with threatening circumstances. While he was under house arrest, the question was whether Nero would execute him. Now, that did not happen on this first imprisonment, but there's going to be a second imprisonment, and Paul is executed by Nero. And Paul wasn't sure that he was going to escape the first one. The Roman government didn't like people who cause riots and commotions, and so he might have been executed the first time. Well, that's not the way it turned out, but he didn't know how it was going to turn out. So he had to live with threatening circumstances and uncertain futures every day. So do you. At this very moment, there are probably things that threaten your happiness. There are probably things that threaten your finances. There are things that threaten relationships that are important to you. And you live with these threats every single day of your life. And Paul did. So you see, you and Paul are the same. In a way, we're all under house arrest. We all have the same problems. So we find in Acts 28:16, Paul says, Luke says, and when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard. But Paul was allowed to live by himself with a soldier that kept him. So you see how it is. He is going to have a soldier chained to him all the time. The soldier kept him. In verse 20, he says, for this reason, therefore, I have called for you to see you and to speak with you, because for the hope of Israel, I am bound with this chain. I'm chained to a soldier. And verse 30, and Paul lived 2 whole years like this. So he's in his own rented house. He has to pay for a house to rent, and a soldier lives with him. I mean, the soldier keeps changing, you know, depending on his shift. And so another soldier comes and is chained to Paul, and he has to do this for 2 years. He's not allowed to leave the house. Not allowed to leave the house for 2 years. Yikes. That wouldn't be that much fun. And then, but the joke is, Paul is chained to a soldier 24 hours a day. And you know what he's going to talk to those soldiers about, right? So the question we always ask in jest is, was Paul chained to the soldier, or was the soldier chained to Paul? You can just imagine. Good morning, Gaius. How are you doing today? I thought we'd take up where we left off yesterday on the story of Jonah. And you can just imagine that the poor soldier is going to be evangelized whether he likes it a lot or not. At any rate, for 2 years, it has to be like this. And you realize why this is so weird. You know, the Apostle Paul is probably the most important man on planet Earth at this time. Now, Peter is still living, and Peter's really, really important. But evidently, from this, you know, history book on the early church, Acts, Paul is the most important man on planet Earth right now. And you wonder, I mean, why wasn't his house always filled with people? I mean, he should be going around from church to church all over the Roman Empire. and encouraging people, he is like a stick of dynamite. And he's stuck away. Isn't that weird? Just stuck away in his own house, chained to a soldier. Well, we don't know how big his house was, but his house wouldn't hold hundreds of people. It wouldn't hold thousands of people. But Paul deserved that. If Paul lived in our time, we would have thousands of people listening to him every single day. That's what he deserves. I mean, that's the importance of this man's ministry. And God had something else in mind. But at any rate, he had to live every day, not only in house arrest in his own house, but also not knowing if he would be put to death at any time. That's just how he lived. And you live like that. We all live like that all the time. One man was posting on social media. He said, I lost my leg due to a motorcycle accident. During the pandemic, I needed to go buy bandages and wraps for my leg. Seems every store I went into didn't have the things I needed or wanted. That's when I realized I have to look out for myself. During the pandemic, a lot of us realized a lot of things like, hey, this food supply chain, for example, it's not bulletproof. The toilet paper supply chain is not bulletproof. I mean, what is going to become of us if these trucks don't roll? I mean, what is this world coming to? And that's how we all live every day. You are in house arrest. One fellow said, I've worked in cybersecurity for the last 10 years, and various high-profile cyber attacks have convinced me that other serious attacks are possible, if not likely, in the near future. The compounding effects of such disruptions could alter our way of life significantly for the long term. I find myself trying to make sense of it all. I wonder what I'll do if and when such disruption happens. I look around me for reassurance that this is as bad as it's going to get, and I conclude that it may not be. I mean, what is going to become of us with this, you know, future of technology and AI and hackers? I mean, we're almost to the place now. I mean, I'm not going to have you raise your hands because some bad guy might see us and knock us on the head. But don't raise your hand. I'm going to raise my hand. How many of you are carrying cash right now? Don't raise your hand. But I mean, the answer is not me. I mean, if a hacker was smart enough, he could get everything we have. It's all electronic. And we think, oh, my wife was telling me at Costco the other day, she doesn't even stop by the checkout area anymore. You bring it up on your phone, you punch in a few things, and just walk out like there's no trick to it at all. Wonderful. Until a hacker goes to Costco for you and buys all this stuff and walks out without being checked out. I mean, what will become of us? We are all in danger. There are circumstances. There are threats to us all the time. What happens if someone we love decides they don't love us anymore and they abandon us? What happens if our loved ones go away? What happens if people who are dear to us just have to move to Texas? What will become of us? Well, that's how we live. And that's how the Apostle Paul lived. And yet, in spite of all these things, in spite of you even being in house arrest, we still have a small band of people around us who are touched by our influence. And that was God's will for the Apostle Paul, right? And that's God's will for you. So Acts 28:24, at the very end of the book of Acts, this is how it ends, right? And some believed the things which were spoken, and some did not believe. See, some hear the gospel, some don't. That's the same for Paul, same for you. Some do believe, some don't. And Paul lived 2 whole years like this in his own rented house and received all who came in to visit him. He deserved to have a lot more visitors. However many came, he deserved to have a lot more than that. But whatever, God's will be done. And when they came to visit him, he was preaching the kingdom of God and teaching things about the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's all any of us can do, right? There is this, you know, compared to what Paul deserved, it was a small band of people who were visiting him in his own lodging. He probably did not have an assembly area to seat many, many people. So, you know, a small band of people, and that's where you are. There are individuals, maybe not many, but there are individuals whose lives are touched by you. You are making a difference to these people, and that's all we can do, any of us, when we're under house arrest, and we're all under house arrest. This is a little graphic. As I was thinking about this message today, I thought of 12 individuals. And they all were, none of these are clergy, missionaries, pastors, they're just church people, you know, great church people. Charlie Esser, that's my father-in-law. He was not a clergy guy, but he died when he was 63 years old. And before he died, in his middle years, in his 40s, the teenagers all came to his house every single Friday. Came to his house. They provided refreshments, put a basketball court out there. They knocked down a wall so they have a bigger gathering area. And when Charlie died, people came around and said, "You touched my life." And he did have a lot of people that touched his life. But he's not a clergy. He's just a pillar of his church. You know, just a good church guy. Pat R. is my mom. She just died a couple years ago. And you know what? She didn't even have a normal high school diploma. She had a GED. And she was a pillar of her church. My church is plural. And people just brag about her all the time. "Oh, yeah, she was so sweet. She touched my life." She was not an educated person, and she touched so many lives. Jerry Lewis, not the celebrity, he came to our church for a long time. He was such a dear guy. I cannot even tell you how many times he helped me and he helped others. His friend said whenever they got, because he was a, what's bigger, Master Chief or Senior Chief? He was a Master Chief in the Navy. And when they got together to pray, they looked at him and said, "Why don't you pray, Chief?" And he's not a clergy. As far as I know, he didn't ever teach a class. He was just a dear guy. And when he died, everybody missed him because he was so dear. Bob Anderson. What a great guy. He died just a few years ago. He helped everybody. He was always doing things. He retired from the phone company. He was an expert electrician. And he helped me. He helped the church. He helped everybody all the time. He worked for a Christian school. He didn't get paid, you know, chicken feed. He didn't care. He just helped everybody. Norma Dykes. She was so wonderful. At her funeral, this whole band of kids, children and grandchildren, stood up and talked about how wonderful she was. Norma this and Norma that. You'd think she hung the moon. Everybody was touched by her. And she was just a dear person, pillar of her church, helped in a Christian school. Vernon Perez. By the time I met her, she was very elderly. But everybody loved Vernon. She had to go to the nursing home because she had such poor health. Her mind was still good, but she had such poor health. And this is not an exaggeration. You had to have an appointment to visit her in a nursing home. So my time was, I could come on Thursdays at 2. But I couldn't come at 1. That was somebody else's time. And I couldn't come at 3. That was somebody else's time. Everybody wanted to be around Vernon. And when she died, everybody missed her. She was just a dear person. Not a missionary, just a dear person. Frank and Eunice Parks. When Frank was a young man, he drank too much. But by the time I met him, he had been faithful to the Lord forever. And there was a time when, I know it's hard for you to believe because I'm so charming, but the church wanted me to go away. And I almost had to. And Frank and Eunice said, "Don't go away." And they were leaders of the church. And so because they said, "Don't go away," I didn't go away. And they helped everybody. He helped Union Mission. He knew Ted Bashford, who was one of the founders of the Union Mission. Just a dear family that helped me and made this church work for years before I ever knew about this church. Charles and Margaret Lester, they were just a dear older couple by the time I met them, but they were faithful to the Lord for years. He owned a car dealership, so he had some wealth and some influence in the business community. Dear, dear people. They're just salt of the earth people. They adopted a son because they couldn't have children of their own and they loved children. The son grew up and shot them while they were in their bed with a shotgun. They didn't die. They forgave him and everything was fine. Unbelievable, dear people. Sula Master, Billy says that it's Sue's influence. I'm sure Billy has a lot to say about this as well. But Billy says it's Sue's influence that took the family out of their impoverished area of Kentucky for good and taught them to live a different sort of life and encourage them and help them with their schoolwork and all these things. And if you love what Billy is doing for us here, I guess you owe that to Sue. She died very young, and she impacted her band of people. She wasn't a missionary or a pastor. Tom Tracy, that's Tom T, at the bottom. He's our friend in Scottsdale, Arizona, and he had some wealth, but just a dear person. He was very kind and very quiet, and he and his wife Edie had a special interest in young couples. And I don't even know how many young couples went through that church. Teresa and I had our wedding reception in his backyard. All of us young couples love Tom and Edie. Everybody says, you know, we feel like we owe something of our spiritual trajectory to Tom Tracy. And when he died, he was much loved. Frances Daniels on the left, Frances D., she was just the pillar of the church that I was a youth pastor at. Dear person, I had to live with her for a year. I mean, I was privileged to live with her for a year because my parents moved away. When I lived in Illinois, they moved to South Carolina, and they would not give me their address. So I had to, that's not true, but they did move, and I couldn't move. And so Frances said, just come and live with me. So for a whole year, I lived with Frances. She's a pillar of her church, and her husband Bob as well. Not a pastor, just dear people. And then we have Mac D on this list. I think you all know who that is. We just lost Mac on Monday. He's one of our Sunday school teachers. He and Angie had high school kids in their house for a Bible study once a week for years. And they all thought of him as a mentor and a host, and he was not a pastor or a missionary, just a dear Christian, a pillar of his church. And there is somebody in the room at this very moment who would consider him to be, you know, his greatest mentor. And so you see, we are all under house arrest. Nobody here is ever going to be a big shot, but we still have a small band of people whose lives have been touched by us. And that's what happened when Paul was in house arrest. So here's our conclusion. In some ways, we're all going to be under house arrest in this world as long as we're in this world. We're all resented by people who matter to us just for representing the Savior. And we wish they wouldn't resent us, but they do. We're all limited in our ability to influence others for good in this world. We want to tell people things. We want to show them things, but they don't want to hear it. And so we're limited. We all live trapped in threatening circumstances. Who knows what's going to happen with our government, with our economy, with our family drama? Who knows? We're all trapped in threatening circumstances and uncertain futures. That's just where we live every day. And yet, we all still have a band of people, a small band of people, whose lives are touched by our influence. And so to conclude the book of Acts, I am bound with this chain. Hey, so are you. Teaching the things about the Lord Jesus Christ, just like you. And some believed, just like you. That's how it all ends for every one of us and the Apostle Paul. Can we stand and be dismissed with prayer? Father God, we realize that life is hard. It will always be hard. We will always be under house arrest. And yet, Lord, we feel very happy. We feel very content because we know that while we are not able to do everything we wish to do, you've allowed us to do so many great things. And while we haven't been able to influence everyone, we've influenced someone. And so, Lord, we thank you for all of that. And if there's anybody who at this moment is feeling a little down, I pray that they would realize that the house arrest will soon be over, and then we'll be in glory with you forever. And won't that be grand? We pray for your blessing as we go now to the next chapter of our house arrest. In Jesus' name, amen.